So we are right at the top of Daf Mem Tes Omed Aleph, and we're learning the story of Yoav. Now, it's important to point out, we heard this from Rabbi Yosef yesterday. It's important to know the historical backdrop a little bit because the Gemara is going to deal with the details of the story coming up right now. Yoav was the army general of David HaMelech, who in his time had killed. Number one, he had killed Avner ben Ner. Avner was a very big tzaddik, and he killed him for reasons we'll discuss in a moment. Number two, he also killed somebody called Amasa for reasons we'll discuss in a moment as well. So he killed two people. Besides for killing two people, he was also involved in the support of Adoniyahu HaMelech. Adoniyahu was a son of David HaMelech and became a rival to the king of Shlomo HaMelech. And by supporting to him, he was considered to be a Moired B'Malchus. What happens? So then, David HaMelech asked his son Shlomo HaMelech to make sure to take care of him to punish him. And this is now what the Gemara is talking about. So the Gemara is talking about the various averas that Yoav ben Tseruya was over, for which David HaMelech has requested of his son Shlomo to put him to death. So have a look at the very top line. That's what we're up to. Top line of Daf Mem Tes Omed Aleph, says the Gemara. Asyuha Le Yoav Dayoni. So they brought Yoav to the Dayonim. Remember, Yoav initially ran to the Beis HaMikdash to grab hold of the Karanos HaMizbeach. He thought that would give him immunity. He sent a message back with the messenger Benyahu that he doesn't want to come. Eventually, he was taken and he's now brought in front of the Dayonim. So, first thing is, Omar Le, they said to him, "My taima kotalte la'avner." So, first question is, why did you kill Avner? Omar Le, which the Bach translates and changes not for Omar Le, but Omar Lehu, which means he said to them, Omar Lehu, he said to them, "Do you know why I killed Avner? Goyel hadam da'asoel havoi." I am the Goyel hadam. Remember, the Goyel hadam is the closest in kin. I'm a relative of asoel. So, what does that mean? Avner killed Asoel. Says Yoav, "I am the Goel Adom of Asoel. So I'm allowed to seek retribution of the murderer of my relative." Who's my relative? Asoel. Who's the murderer of Asoel? Yoav. I'm the family member, therefore I'm allowed to kill Avner. So again, the murderer is Avner. The one who was murdered was Asoel, says Yoav. "If I'm the family member of Asoel, I'm allowed to kill my cousin, my family relative's murderer, which is Avner." So they said to him, "Asoel roideif hava." Asoel was a roidif. Asoel was not just killed by Avner in a vacuum. He was killed by Avner by virtue of the fact that he was a roidif. Asoel was busy running after somebody to kill him, in which case, Avner had every right to kill him. That's the halacha we all know. The halacha is that you are allowed and you're supposed to kill a roidif. So how can you, Yoav, claim that you're coming to seek retribution of Avner? for having killed Asael. He was allowed to kill Asael because Asael was a Roidev. Says the Gemara Amalei, it's true. You're right, he was a Roidev. But Hoyoloi Lahatzil me'evarov. But there's another way of dealing with him. We know, Rashi's going to quote this in a moment, that if you see Reuven running after Shimon to kill him, so then yes, you're allowed to kill Reuven. But if you're able to injure Reuven and thereby prevent the murder, then you have no right to kill him. And if you kill him, you're a murderer. That's what it's called, Yochai Lahatzil Be'echod Me'evarov. I can save the person being pursued by injuring one of the limbs of the Roidev. So therefore, Yoav turned around and said, it's true. You're 100% right. Asael was a Roidev. But I'm sorry to tell you, I don't see any justification for Avner killing him. Because Avner could have injured him. Why did he have to kill him? He surely could have been Matzil Be'echod Me'evarov. Nobody asked him to actually go and kill him. It would have been enough if he just injured him. And if that would have been enough, so for what right did he have to kill him? And if indeed he kills him, then he's considered a murderer. So in the final analysis, says Yoav, the fact that Avner killed Asael was unjustified because he could have injured him. Why did he have to kill him? And if he killed him, he's considered a murderer. If he's considered a murderer, I had every right as the Goel Adom to kill him. Look at Rashi. Top line. Hoyoloi la'Avner lahatzil es atzmoi be'echod me'evorov shel Asael. He could have saved himself. Again, Asael was a Roidev. Who was Asael being Roidev after? He was actually running after Avner. So let's go back to our moshel. Reuven is running after Shimon with a gun. Shimon is allowed to turn around in self-defense and kill the Roidev. In fact, anybody in Klal Yisrael is allowed to kill the Roidev. However, what is the condition that we just said? That's only if there's no other choice. But if I'm able to shoot him in the foot, thereby injure him and prevent the murder, then you can do no more than that. So here you have the story now. Asael is running after Avner. Avner turned around and he killed Asael. He killed Asael. So Yoav claimed that why did he have to kill Asael? He could have injured him. It would have sufficed had Avner just turned around and shot Asael in the foot or in the leg, and that would have been enough. Because he chose instead to kill him, he's considered a murderer. So look at Rashi. Hoyoloi la'Avner lahatzil es atzmoi. Surely Avner could have saved himself, but echod me'evarov shel Asael. By injuring one of the limbs of Asael, v'lo yahargenu, but by not by killing him. D'hochi omrino, because this is the principle that we say, b'ben seira umayre, roidev achar chaveiroi lahorgoi. If somebody is pursuing after somebody else to kill him, v'yochoil zeh lahatzel es atzmoi, and the victim is able to save himself, Be'echod me'evarov shel roidev, just by injuring, not by killing, by injuring one of the limbs of the roidev, if v'loyoso came, if for some reason he did not do that, elo chozar kenegdoi, but he turned around to him, v'horogoi, and he killed him, well, that was unjustified. And therefore, ner agalov, and he himself gets killed because he's a murderer. So therefore, Yoav is claiming to the Beis Din that why did I kill Avner? Because Avner killed Asael. It's true, Asael was pursuing Avner, and Avner has every right to defend himself. But why did he have to kill him when he could have saved himself by injuring one of the Eivarim of Asoel? And because he did not do that, and he chose instead of injuring him, he chose to kill him. So I'm sorry to say, Avner is considered a murderer. He murdered my relative Asoel, and therefore I had every right to kill Avner. Says the Gemara, the conversation continued. Omar Leh, they said to him, no, it's not true. Loi Yochil Leh. He was unable. What does that mean? He was unable. In order to be able to be Matzil Echod Me'ivarov, you need to make a very, very spontaneous calculation. Am I able to shoot with such precision that I'm able to shoot him in the leg without actually killing him? But sometimes it's impossible for whatever reason. And therefore, he had no choice but to kill him. So, therefore, the Beis Din saying, I'm sorry to tell you, you are unjustified. Avner was not able to aim well enough. He wasn't skilled enough. He was not skilled enough to be able to home in to the leg. Therefore, he had every right to kill Asoel. And if he had every right to kill Asoel, then you have no business killing Avner, because Avner was allowed to kill Asoel. Look at Rashi, third wide line. Amrulei loy yochilei Avner. Avner was unable lechaven. What does it mean, lechaven? To aim. Be'echod mishar Eivarov. He was unable to aim for one of the Eivarim. For whatever reason, we're now claiming that he wasn't talented enough, he wasn't skillful enough to aim for the leg. So, under those circumstances, you can't have a claim. Well, why didn't he injure his leg? Why did he have to kill him? He didn't have a choice. He wasn't skilled enough. So therefore, in self-defense, you're allowed to do, you have to do everything you can in order to save yourself. He was unable to aim with precision at his leg. So therefore, he killed him instead. And if he killed him instead, he had every right to do so because he's a roidev. And if that's the case, I'm sorry to tell you, Yoav, you had no right to kill Avner. Because all Avner was doing was self-defense. So the story continues. Yoav says, I'm sorry, I can't accept that. I cannot accept your claim that he was not skilled enough. He was not skilled enough. I can't accept that. Why not? Omale, they said to him, I'm sorry. He said to them, Hashta bedoifen chamishis kiven le. He was able to shoot with such precision, as we're about to see in a moment. He was able to aim at somebody's fifth rib. We're going to bring a pasuk in a second that backs up this story that actually Avner was an extremely talented hitman. Hitman. He was able to kill somebody and aim for the fifth rib. So don't tell me that he was untalented and he didn't know how to wave a sword. He clearly does. So if he's able with such precision to kill somebody and aim for his fifth rib, well, then he's definitely able to go for one of the Eivarim. And therefore, Yoav says, again, this is a whole backwards and forwards. Therefore, Yoav says, I'm in the correct, I'm right. Avner, don't tell me he's unskilled. I can't accept that. He's extremely talented. He was able to shoot somebody or stab somebody in the fifth rib. So he could certainly go for somebody's his leg. And if that's the case, says Yoav, I once again ask the question, why did he have to kill Asael? Yes, he was a roidif. But if you're able to injure one of the Eivarim, that's what you're supposed to do. And don't tell me he was unable. He was jolly well able. He's very talented. So he definitely claims, Yoav, he definitely was able to injure one of his Eivarim rather than killing him. And nonetheless, he did kill him. And if he did kill him, therefore, I'm sorry, that's unjustified. So I have every right now to seek retribution and kill him back. So again, look at the Gemara. Omale, hashta b'doifen chamishis kiven lei. If he was able to, with such precision, aim for the fifth rib, how do I know? Dixiv, because it's a pasuk and it says Vayakeu Avner ba'acharei hachanis el hachoimesh. It says he stabbed somebody with the back of the sword with the nechoimesh. What does that mean? Nechoimesh, the omer of Yoichanan. That means b'doifen chamishis b'mokim shemorov v'kaved tluyin boy. The exact place where the spleen and the liver are hanging. So he was able, with such remarkable precision, to aim for that particular place. Well, if that's the case, be'echad me'evarav loy yochil lei? Question mark. So you telling me that he couldn't aim for one of the Evarim? He was obviously a very talented marksman. He was able to even stab somebody in the fifth rib at a very, very precise point. So I'm sorry, I can't accept this claim that he was unable to go for one of the Evarim. He certainly was able. And if he was able, then we're back to our previous claim that this is a case of Yochai Lahatzil Be'echod Me'evarov. And if he's Yochai Lahatzil Be'echod Me'evarov, why did he kill Asael? He had no right to do that. And if he had no right to do that, then he's a murderer, and that's why I killed him. Look at Rashi on the fourth wide line. Omar Lehu Yoav, Hashta Bedoifen Chamishis. What does that mean? Kneged Tzela Chamishi. He was able to aim with such precision at the fifth rib. Well, then certainly he's able to aim at somebody's Ava, one of the legs, and if he didn't do so, he's jolly well a murderer. So Yoav over here now is defending his position. Again, remember we said before there were various three things altogether that he was being accused of. The first was, why did you kill Avner? So Yoav has a whole big lengthy shtickle Torah to explain why he killed Avner. You know why I killed Avner? Because he killed Amasa. What are you going to say? Yes, but Amasa was trying to kill him. So Avner was allowed to kill him. No, he was not allowed to kill him because he could have injured one of the Avarim. What are you going to say? He was unable to do so with precision. I can prove to you that he was a very, very talented swordsman, and he therefore was able to hit precisely. So he could have saved himself Be'echod me'Avarim. Because he didn't do so, but rather he killed Asael. That was unjustified. He's considered himself to be a murderer, and that's why I killed him. Yes, Reblay.
What about the? I mean, I don't know where it's from or if it's true even. But Abola Hargo, you're allowed to.
That
If
is the
somebody
case.
comes,
This is the
huh?
case. That is the case
No,
of murder.
but it doesn't say Abola Hargo. You can stop him. It says
Yes, it does.
Abola Hargo. You can kill him.
Says the Gemara only if you have to. That's the case we're talking about. We're talking about that very case. That is the case of murder.
So Abola Hargo. If someone's coming to kill you, the halacha is not simple. You can kill him first.
Abola Hargo, you're allowed to kill him if there's no other way. That's what the Gemara
If
says. If
there's no other way, people don't say that.
you
It's if there's no other way.
don't say that's what Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara
I guess I'm
says the
talking. I
whole
guess I'm
parak
talking to the
coming
wrong
up.
people.
It's coming up later on in the Masechta, a whole sugya of Roidev, where, as you mentioned, if Hashkem Lahorga, again, what is the case of the Torah? Roidev is mentioned in one place in the Torah. It's quite a scary thing, actually. Because the Torah actually talks about somebody who comes for your money. But Chazal say that we can assume that if somebody comes for your money, he's going to be willing to kill you as well. And therefore, you're allowed to kill him back. But the Gemara adds, only if there's no alternative. There was a very famous case, Rabbi Yosef, I don't know if you remember, some years ago in England, it became very famous. Where there was a farmer whom in the middle of the night heard a commotion in his field. He went out and he saw people who were armed trying to steal things from his field. And he went out and he attacked them and he killed this fellow. And the whole of England were discussing this case. Was he justified to do so or unjustified to do so? There were those who claimed that why did he have to kill him? This fellow came to loot his field, but he didn't come to kill the farmer. Meanwhile, the farmer claimed if he came to loot, then safe to assume that he would have killed me as well, which is exactly what Chazal do say. It was a whole backwards and forwards. I don't know what happened in the end, but this is mamish what Chazal talk about.
Rebbe, Yoav was the head of the army. So
Yes.
in a war, it's if they're coming to kill you, so if you can stop them without killing them, is that the halacha too? Like, how does that work?
No, that's a different halacha. In halacha of milchama, halachas of murder and pikuach nefesh do not apply. You can imagine, by the way, this, we're talking about some of the most difficult cases. Maybe the most famous case in Klal Yisrael was Rav Moshe Feinstein's famous psak. I think we mentioned this recently, with regard to the Siamese twins. The Siamese twins, there was a couple in Lakewood who had Siamese twins, Rav Moshe Feinstein. The metzias was, he said that one twin is definitely going to die, no question about it. There's no way that both can survive. It's totally impossible. But they said if you don't separate them, then they're both going to die. Because one, by mere fact, the fact that he's stuck to the other is killing him off. So the question was, are you allowed to separate them? Which would mean that one of the twins would die instantaneously, and then the other one has a chance of survival. Rav Moshe Feinstein fasted for 11 days straight. He ate at night, but he fasted for 11 days straight in order to have siyata dishmaya to paskin this shaila. In the end, he paskined that you are allowed to separate the twins because by virtue of them being stuck, he's considered to be a roidif. Why is that a tremendous chiddush? Because a roidef, we normally understand, means you are actively, consciously deciding that you want to go and kill somebody else. This twin did not consciously decide he wants to kill his brother. He was stuck there by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's a whole sugya in the Mishnayos, in Ahalos, with regard to a baby being born. What happens if the baby is killing off the mother, etc., etc., is a whole sugya. So in the end, Rav Moshe Feinstein paskened that he is considered to be a roidev, and they're allowed to do surgery. In fact, they must do surgery. It was all complicated. Other details, we're not going to get involved. What happened in the end, the babies were taken to the operating theater and they were separated. On the spot, one of the twins died. On the spot. The other one survived. Tragically, the second twin passed away a few days later. But I'll tell you an amazing backdrop to this story, just an addition to this story. I heard this from the person himself. There's a Talmud Chacham who lives in Har HaNof. His name is Rav Hanan Cohen. He has a sefer, Binyan Shabbos. You might see it around. Rav Hanan Cohen once told me he was very close to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. So he told me that on one occasion, he went in to Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach seemed to be very excited, big smile on his face. So Reb Hanan Cohen said to Reb Shlomo Zalman, "I see that the Rav is very besimcha. Is there a simcha in the family?" So he told me, "No." He said, Reb Shlomo Zalman says, "You know, when I come to an event, I come to a wedding, I come to a rally, I come to a shir. So everybody stands up and they all start singing Yom Ali Mei Melech, and people think there's big kavod. Ah," he said, "that's nothing." He says, "You know what kavod is?" He said, "I just now got a phone call from America from Ramosha Feinstein. And Ramosha Feinstein wanted to know what was my opinion on this case of the Siamese twins." Said Reb Shlomo Zalman, "That's called kavod. The fact that Reb Moshe Feinstein was interested in my opinion, he said, that is very, very special for me, and that's why he was so excited." I'll call upon a vayfan. It's an extremely complicated sugi, the sugi of roidef generally, which unfortunately, again, in this country has been nogea. And one needs to know the halachic psak, which is extremely, extremely complicated.
So was David allowed to kill Shaul?
Didn't.
Shaul was a roidef. He was chasing, literally chasing after him.
So again, the case is the halacha is if it's If it's impossible, hatzel be'echel me'ivorav, then you can't kill. So therefore, you need to make an assessment, and sometimes not shaykh to make an assessment. Right? The classic scenario that's always drawn up in these cases, university debates. There is a sniper on top of a building, raining down bullets on young kindergarten children. What do you do to the sniper? So, of course, you always get some left-wing liberals. Oh, how could you kill him? A life for a life. Okay, but those people who have sensible heads, obviously, you can kill the sniper. So the halacha would dictate that if it's shaykh to just maim him, to injure him, then you can't kill him. Now, it might well be that circumstances dictate that it's not shaykh to start aiming with such precision. He's busy raining down bullets. You can't now start trying to work out your angles and your, you just got to get him out of the way. So obviously, then you have to kill him. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter.
For you, it's okay.
Says the Gemara, we are on. Sorry, basically, says something.
Yeah, I said is won this.
Right, so at the moment, Yoav is good because Yoav claims that Avner was extremely talented. If he was extremely talented, he was able to kill somebody in the fifth rib. Well, then he's definitely able to injure somebody's leg. And if that's the case, and he didn't do so, and he chose to kill Asoel, then Avner is a murderer, and that's why I put him to death. And his argument was accepted. Says the Gemara, Omar Leir, they said to him, Nazel Avner. Okay, so we're moving away from Avner. We're moving away. Fine, you've defended yourself. Look at Rashi, fourth line. Omar Leir, Nazel Avner, Dinoi Shel Avner. This whole judgment of Avner, Potur Ato Olov. Yep, you're Potter. You're off the hook. You've defended yourself. Okay, but now the next case. Says the Gemara, my time on the last narrow line, my time kotalte la'amoso. This was another story. Remember, we said he was accused of two murders, of killing number one, Avner, but also of killing Amoso. So we have dealt with Avner. What about Amoso? What was your excuse for killing Amoso? Omale, so he said to him, or he said to them, to the Dayanim, Amasa was a Moirid b'malchus hava. He was a rebel against the throne. Why? Diksi, because it says, Vayomer ha-melech la-amasa. Hazek li es ish Yehuda shloishes yomim. Vayelech amasa la-hazik es Yehuda v'yuchar, etc., etc. So he's bringing Psukim to back up the notion that Amasa was a Moired B'Malchus, a Moired B'Malchus. Do they explain the backdrop to this, Rabbi Yosef?
Yeah, Amasa commanded Avshalom's army. When Avshalom led a revolt against David, subsequently David pardoned Amasa and asked him to gather troops to put down the insurrection of Sheva ben Bichri.
Right.
Yoav, however, viewed Amasa as a rival for his own position as commander of David's army, and he killed him. And
Right.
this is justification.
So for he viewed him as a Moire b'Malchus, even though, like we said, David HaMelech had essentially overlooked that, and therefore as a Moire b'Malchus, he killed him. Omale, they said to him, one second, Amoso Achin Varakin Dorash. He darshaned Ach and Rak. We know we have words in the Torah which are available for droshes. The word Ach, like V'hoyiso Ach Sameach, Ach means, or Rak, always means that there's a limitation. There is a drasha, which means that there's some limitation. We'll explain in a moment. So Amosa darshaned Achin Verakin. Wherever it says Ach or Rak, he made a drasha. What drasha? Ashkechinu de Posiach lehu b'mesechta. They found him that he opened the Gemara. And what does it say? Omar, Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Koil ish asheyamre espicha. Anybody who rebels against the king, v'lo yishma es dvorecha, and doesn't listen to the instruction, l'choyl asher tzivanu, everything that he's instructed, yumas, he will die. Yochol afilu ledivrei Torah. What happens if the king asks you to be mevatel Torah? If the king instructs you to do something and you don't listen, you're a morid b'malchus. What happens if you're learning and the king tells you close your Gemara? Do you have to listen to him? This is the drasha. Yochel afilu divrei Torah, Talmud loyma rak, that important word rak chazak va'ematz. So in that very parasha, where it says you've got to listen to the king, and failure to do so means that you get killed as a moir b'malchus, but there's the magic word rak. Remember, we said if ever it says ach or rak, there's a limitation. What's the limitation over here? Yes, you always have to listen to the king, but there's a limitation, there's an exception. What's that exception? If the king tells you to stop learning. So therefore, what are they saying to him? They're telling Yoav that I'm sorry, he was not considered to be a Moir b'Malchus. Because you're not mechuyev to listen to the king when you're being told to be mevatel Torah, which is what happened. Have a look at Rashi. At the end of the fourth narrow line, wide line, Achin v'Rakim Dorish. Omaluhu, sorry, Ashkechon, they found him, Shematzon, Shoyu Asukin b'Mesechta. They was learning Gemara. V'loi rotzol v'atlon. They did not want to be mevatel, k'de mefarish v'ozol. De'enoi moirid b'Malchus. That's not considered to be a revolt against the king if you don't want to stop learning. Diksiv, rak, underline, chazak v'amatz. And rakin, whenever it says the word rak, miutin, it's a miut. She'im bo hamelech levatel divrei Torah, ein shoymin lo, you do not need to listen. So how can you, Yoav, accuse Amasa of being a Moirid b'Malchus, and that's why you decided to kill him? But there is one case, which is the exception. It's a rak, where he's not considered to be a Moirid b'Malchus. And when is that? If the king tells you to mevatel Torah, which is what happened. And therefore, I'm sorry to tell you, he's not considered to be a Moirid b'Malchus. Okay, so we have to press pause over here. It's in the middle of the story. But at the moment, Yoav is being incriminated because he killed somebody who is not a Moirid b'Malchus. We'll see how Yoav tried to defend himself. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see this tomorrow.